inheritance with me. Tell my brother to invite the inheritance with me. And Jesus then uses that poor question to launch into this long discourse that we find in Luke chapter 12. And what we observed last week is about our decisions, that it is all about seeking after God. It is not about seeking after the things of the world, that we put forward the things of the kingdom first and the rest will be added to us. And then he moves now into verse 35, and he continues this by talking about the necessity of this preparation to be ready for Christ's return. And you'll notice that there in Luke chapter 12, verse 35, he uses two separate images: stay dressed for action and to keep the lamps burning. There is a picture of readiness that is supposed to be within the heart of the disciple at all times, always looking for his return. And you'll notice that's the imagery he carries in verse 35. It says, "Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes in." And so you begin this picture of the disciples of Jesus are to always be ready, always be prepared. The imagery is of the master's going to come home at some point. And the last thing the master wants to do is find all of the servants and all the slaves asleep. You open the door and they're just, you know, sitting around doing nothing, being lazy. You know, a parallel would be somewhat to when the boss goes away for the afternoon or for the morning and he comes back into the office or comes back into the store. The last thing he wants to see is all the employees, you know, sitting back drinking Mountain Dew with their feet up on the counter. He wants to see them ready and working. And that's the imagery that's behind this, is the master is gone. He's going to be coming back. What is he going to find when he comes back? What is he going to see in his servants? What is he going to observe in them? And so that's what the imagery there is in verse 35, is are they dressed for action? Are the lamps burning? Are they ready at any given hour? Or are they sleeping or are they lazy? And now what is really interesting about what he talks about with this is for us to consider that he's describing his servants already. He's not talking about looking out the world and saying, now one day Jesus is going to come and are all the people in the world ready? That's not the picture of this parable. He's talking to those who are already his servants and saying, are you ready? Are you prepared? Or are you going to be a servant that's not prepared, laying down, resting, not working, not doing what God has said? That's the picture that he wants to get across. So as we look at this, as we start this text, I want us to recognize that this is not a one-time effort. This is not something that we can say, well, you know, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I confessed him as the Son of God and Lord, and I've been immersed in water for the forgiveness of my sins, so this lesson's for everybody else. No, this lesson is exactly for you. That's the question that Jesus is preparing. In fact, you noticed in the reading, Peter's a little bit unsure that in verse 41 when Peter says, now is this for us or for everybody? What are we doing here? We're trying to drive at you servants. Where are you at? Are you ready? But watch the fascinating turn of the story in verse 37. Did you see what happened there? You would expect the story to go like this. All right, the master's going to return. And when he comes in, what is he going to find his servants doing? Well, that's the big question of the day. And so he's going to come home, and the feast is going to be prepared. The servants are going to be all ready, lamps burning, dressed for action. They're going to wash his feet, and he's going to sit down at that table, and he's going to eat of this great meal because all of his servants are ready. That would have been the expectation of any reader at that time. That's what the master does. When the master comes home, the servants have everything prepared, everything is set. Notice in verse 37 when he says, now blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Well, why are they going to be blessed? Well, look at it. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. There is an amazing reversal that occurs in the midst of the story. It doesn't go according to plan. Rather than Christ as the master, he comes and says, all right, I'm back. You all ready? I'm going to sit down. Are you going to serve me? He says, no, the servants who are prepared, they're going to be blessed. Because guess what's going to happen? The master's going to return. and he's going to dress himself as a servant, have the servant sit down at the meal, and he's going to serve them. Now, that's completely out of bounds in first century norm. No master ever did that. No master comes back and says, "Boy, it's been a long day. I've been on a long journey. I've done all of this work." You come home and say, "Servants, go sit there and eat my dinner, and I'll make sure it's all perfect for you." No, we don't do that. The servants are the ones who say, "Boy, I'm glad I'm home. Make my meal. Get everything set so I can relax now." And it was a fascinating turn of events to say the master now reverses course, and he becomes the servant. So blessed are the Lord's servants, because when he does come back, there's an amazing blessing that's going to happen. He's going to dress himself for service. You're going to be blessed. You're going to eat at the banquet table, and he's going to ensure that you have everything. And so that becomes now the motivation for the servant. As we go through the rest of this text, keep this in your mind, that this is the reason why we want to be prepared servants. This isn't, now he's coming, and so, you know, everybody on pins and needles because he's coming and he's going to give us a nasty thrashing. That's not where he starts with this. He starts with it in the positive tone and says, look at the benefit of what's going to happen. If he finds you ready, look at what you're going to receive. You're going to receive this amazing banquet. Now, we're not talking literal banquet. I'm assuming you understand that. We're talking in spiritual terms. We're talking about being part of the kingdom of God. We are part of this great fellowship and being with God. You are going to be joined with God and experience all the blessings, and you're going to have this great servant, our Lord, then participate in those things. But then he comes back to the point of the story of preparation. He kind of gives us, now look what we're watching for, but now look what he does in verse 38. If he comes in the second watch or the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. That's an important now, for as he returns back to this theme. You don't know when he's going to come. You have to be ready at all times. And he uses the imagery of the thief and says, you know, if you knew when the thief was coming, do you think you would have been ready at that particular hour? Well, of course you would have been. And that's the whole idea. You would have been prepared. Well, here's the issue. You don't know when he's coming, and so you have to be ready at all times. I think somewhat of a modern parallel. It's not really a good one, but it's kind of like trying to catch the FedEx guy, you know, so you don't get the lousy sticker on the door. And so all you do is you get online and it says out for delivery. And you're like, okay, it's coming. But you have no idea. 8 in the morning? All right. 1? I've had UPS come at 6 at night. You have no idea when they're going to arrive. And so what do? You sit there and wonder, well, do I have enough time to go get a haircut and beat him back? Do you think if I'm gone, he'll make it and I'll miss him? You know, one of the worst things you see on that door is that sticker hanging. And you're like, oh, no, I've got to wait another day. And so what do? You wait. You stay and wait until they finally come. That's the imagery of this readiness. You know he's going to come, and so you have to be ready for that given moment. You don't have the opportunity to slip away and say, well, maybe today it won't be now, and then you mess it all up. You have to be ready for his coming, and we don't know when his coming is going to be. Now, I think this makes an interesting aside, because we have a lot of people who claim to know when he's coming. I find it absolutely fascinating how many people make a lot of money, write a lot of books, get a lot of airtime about, oh, well, we know he's coming. We all saw it this year, right? Back in the spring, it was just like pandemonium. Ah, he's coming. Fair warning. We're going to do it all next spring, because I think it's the Mayan calendar this time that said 2012. And so we're going to do it all over again. We don't know when he's coming. He said it like that. He makes it very clear. He says it 3 different ways. Second watch, third watch, we don't know. Verse 39, he calls himself a thief. Verse 40, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. I say this tongue in cheek, but I kind of thought it to be fairly true, because you never know. But I thought, you know, when year 2000 was coming, remember, you know, December 31st, 1999, and it was going to be the end of the world as we knew, and where are we going to make it? I remember thinking, there's no way he's coming, because everybody thinks that. He's using an imager to say, when you don't expect it, if you think he's going to come in May 2012, you know what he might do? He might come tomorrow, because that's not when you expect it. That's when you don't expect he's going to come. He's trying to get us to recognize there's not a set date, there's not a set time. We're not supposed to go into the Bible, break out some spiritual calculators and crunch the codes and come up with all these dates and try to come up with, okay, I think it's this, and if we add a few thousand years here and go crazy with the book of Daniel and mess that thing up to smithereens and come up with a date. No. You don't know. That's as simple as that. Every image that Jesus has ever used in describing his final return has always been used of you don't know. So you just have to be ready. Stop trying to guess. Stop trying to pick dates. And don't listen to anybody who says they know. If they say they know, we know they're a liar because they don't know, because it says so right here. So as soon as they say, oh, I know that, oh, well, you just turn the TV off right then. Or you just laugh at it, you know, whatever works for you. But don't listen. We're not going to follow that. We know it's completely false. Instead, he wants us to live in the anticipation and expectation of his arrival at any moment. It is living with a keen awareness that today could very well be the last day. There is not an assumption of tomorrow. There's not an assumption of next week. Now remember, that connects to how this parable began. What did he say about that rich fool? Oh, I've got bigger barns and I've got all this time and I'm going to do it. And he goes, wham, you're dead. You thought you had all this. No, you don't. And he's trying to move us into the now and recognize you need to be prepared right now. Don't assume you have time for bigger barns later and then you'll get right with God. I hear that kind of response all the time. I got so many things I got to take care of. I got so many things I got to do. When I get all my ducks in a row, then I'll have time to serve God. I'm sorry to tell you this. Your ducks will never be in a row. Every time they get real close, a duck comes out of place. And you're like, man, and you got to go fix that one. It always works that way. Life is like that. Your ducks are never going to be all squared away, so your life is just perfect so that you can go serve God. Be ready right now. Always be prepared. And so that's how he starts this from verse 35 to verse 40. Now Peter asks, now who are we talking about here? And so Jesus elaborates, well, who then, verse 42, who then is this faithful and wise manager whom the master is going to set over his household and give them their portion of food at the proper time? So who are these people? Who are we talking about? Notice in verse 43. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. The first picture he gives of what it means to be prepared servants of God is that we are faithful. Notice how he describes it. It says, when he comes, will we be doing what the master said to be doing? Will we be found carrying out the very deeds, the very list, the very requirements that the master left for us? Will we be doing those things? Again, that work imagery works well. The boss wants to come back and see, yeah, you did everything that you were told to do. And here is the master coming back and saying, were you doing what was asked of you? Were you ready? That's the readiness that is pictured here. Are we carrying out the proper preparations that our Lord has called us to keep? And so verse 43, that's the one who is blessed, the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Are we active? Do we have action in our lives of keeping what God has told us to do? And that puts a requirement on our part that we will then examine his teachings and change our lives to match what he says. It's not good enough to hear the stories of Jesus, listen to the parables, get all the teachings from the apostles, hear the doctrines, and then go right on and not do anything about that. There's a responsibility on the servant's part to know exactly what are his requirements. If I have to be ready and prepared and have to give an account of my actions as a servant based upon the moment he comes, what I've done in contrast to what he said, if I've matched those things up, then I have to know everything he told me to do. If I am accountable to be ready and to be found doing what the master said, then it is of the utmost importance on our part as individuals to know what he said. And so often we will push that to everybody else. You know, well, just tell me what he said. You need to know what he said because you're going to be held in account of that. You need to know exactly what his requirements are, especially because there's a whole lot of false requirements out there. When you turn on the TV and get all that religious noise, there's a lot of things they tell you to do that you're not supposed to do and things they tell you you're not supposed to do that you are to do. You need to know for yourself. You need to know what God's Word actually says. And then when you learn what it says, do it. Do exactly what he says to be found ready. The second picture goes in along with that when he says that we'll not be lulled into laziness. Notice verse 45. But if the servant says to himself, well, my master's delayed in coming, and he begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, and the master of the house will come on the day when he does not expect him at the hour he does not know, and he'll cut him in pieces and put him in with the unfaithful. All right, that was a good story. I'll tell your kids that at night. That one's got good teeth on that one. That is awesome. Notice what he says there. First of all, notice he says there is the imagery of the master being delayed. Right here, Jesus is already indicating this is going to be a time. Because it's going to be enough time for all the servants to think within their hearts, my master is delayed. He's putting his finger right on exactly what we do. Oh, it's been a long time. Oh, you know, it's just been going on and on and on. We've got plenty of time. It's been thousands of years. There's no way that he's coming. He's been delayed. And so what happens is we begin to lose our intensity of being ready. We probably get amp the intensity a little bit, and then we go, oh, well, he didn't come today. And so then we dial it back down, we go back into cruise control, and we're not prepared anymore for his coming. And he's warning us of that and saying, don't be like the servant who says within his heart, oh, my master's delayed. Peter warned of that over in his letter as well, when he warned of scoffers coming along saying, oh, the world's gone on this way, forever will this way, where is the promise of his coming? It's easy for us to be tricked into thinking that he's not coming. And it's easy for us to be lulled into laziness, to not be prepared because it's been so much time. You've lived so long on this earth, and look how long it's been, and he hasn't come yet. And his warning is that kind of thinking leads us to unfaithfulness. Did you see what the servant does? Well, my master, he's not coming back, so here's what I'm going to do. Look at the imagery. He starts beating on the other servants. He starts acting improperly. He starts doing what he wants to do. That's the imagery that's there. Thinking that the master's not returning anytime soon, he thinks he's going to be able to get away with his life. I can live how I want to live. I'll just do what I want to do. He's not coming back today. And so I can go ahead and keep doing the sins that I want to do. There's no way he'll be here tomorrow. I've got at least plenty of time to get back with God. So live my life how I want to live. That's exactly the mentality that he's working on with this servant here. Because here's verse 46. Look when he gives it to us again. The master of that house, of the servant, will come on a day he does not expect him. And at an hour he doesn't know. You think you have today. You think you have tomorrow. You think you've got all of October. You think you've got all of 2011. You're making big assumptions. You are assuming things that are not in evidence. He says, you don't know. You better be ready. And we easily become like these servants who live how we want to live, beating the servants. They're eating, drinking, getting drunk. We'll just live life. We'll party it up. We'll do what we want to do. We're not going to be held accountable. That's where that rich fool was in that parable. And Jesus is wrapping this around and saying, you can't think like that. Servants of Jesus absolutely do not think of that. And so often what we do is we think that we can get away with our sins today. We can live how we want to live today. We'll do what we want to do because the master's delayed in coming. Surely he's not coming today. And so we justify our sins. We cave into temptation. We do what we want to do. And so often we're fooling ourselves and not recognizing that this could be the very day. Watch what he does now as the consequences for this. The final two verses. Notice at the end of, actually the end of verse 46, when he says, he'll cut him in pieces and put him in with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they were entrusted much, they will demand the more. That is a phenomenal imagery. Okay, notice how we started with the positive. I want you to be ready. And the servants who are ready, guess what's going to happen? The master's going to come. He's going to dress like a servant. He's going to put you at the banquet table and he's going to serve you. Now he reverses the other one. If he comes and you're not found ready, what's he going to do? Cut you in pieces. All right. Whoa, okay. Glad that's a figure of speech, right? You know, yeah, that's pretty harsh. Wow. But it's graphic imagery to try to describe to us, I think, the horror and the awfulness of the eternal punishment that awaits. It's basically not going to go well if you're not ready. If you're not prepared, look at the judgment that's going to come. Do not think that when he comes, you're going to be able to get out of this somehow. There is a demand for readiness, which is requiring faithfulness, a lack of laziness, an intensity, a passionate serving of Jesus. He's going to come back and he's going to look for his servants and who are obeying him. And it's trying to drive at, I think, that the gravity of our sins. It reminds us then that there is great condemnation for us. And we know the Lord, but don't do what he says. There's a great requirement placed upon us. You know what God is calling for you to do. You know what is demanded of you to be ready. You know what His expectations are. You know that you need to be living with that kind of intensity, that today is the very day, and how will you live today? I think all of us recognize that that most certainly changes how you make decisions. If you live your life as if today was your last day, I mean, that changes everything. That certainly changes your spiritual outlook. It certainly helps prevent sin when you think today's it. When you start thinking about this is the time. That's the kind of thought process Jesus wants his servants to live with, is to think about, are you ready today? Are you ready to meet God right now? Are you prepared that if he were to come in the next 3 minutes, you are completely set to stand before God? He will say, well done, faithful servant, and you get to sit down at the table, or are you going to hear, off and be cut into pieces, off to eternal punishment? You have to be ready right now. And so often we always project it into the future. I'll be ready then. We're good procrastinators. We'll be ready then. We'll be all set then. We'll be all squared away by then. I got a few things I got to enjoy in this world now, to pursue the things of God, of this world now, pursue my comforts and desires now. The message that he wants us to see is, are you ready? Are you maintaining a faithful, passionate pursuit of Jesus? Or have you allowed your heart to deceive you into thinking that the Master is delayed and he's not coming? I personally find it fascinating that Jesus, while he's on the earth, already predicted what we would all be saying within ourselves. Oh, he's delayed. We got plenty of time. No worries. And he says, oh, I know what you're going to say. And the implication is, he's not delayed. He's coming when it's the right time. All in due course, when everything is right for his return, that's when he's going to come. We don't know what that is. We don't know what that day is. And so the question is, will we have our lamps burning? Will we be dressed for action? Will we be prepared? Will we be ready to give an account today for all the decisions we've made, for all the actions we've taken? Well, are you ready to give an account to your Lord on the things that you've said and done towards your spouse, towards your children, towards your parents, towards your family, towards your brethren, towards your neighbor, toward the world? Are you ready? Every word judged. Every action judged. Prayer. We're singing a song now to invite you to get ready now. Don't wait. Don't assume you have more time. Don't assume you can come a few more Sundays and kind of work all this out. It's right now. You don't know when He'll return. Will you be found faithful? Will you be found doing the Master's will? Will you be found serving and passionately loving and pursuing your God? Or will you be found passionately pursuing the things of this world? Turn away from the things of this world. Give your life to Jesus by saying, I'm not going to follow this world. I'm not going to follow my desires. I'm not going to do what is best for me. I'm going to do what's best for God. I'm going to give my life completely to Him, serve Him with all of my heart, confess Him as Lord. And that's not just words, but I'm living that out, that He's in charge of my life. And be immersed in water to have your sins washed away, that so you can be found a faithful servant of His. Won't you come right now while we stand and while we sing?